It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll look at the latest numbers on homicides in Milwaukee and how the city and its residents are responding to the increasing violence. First, a look at a controversial provision that was abruptly added to the state budget last week, exemptions to Wisconsin's open records law. On Thursday night, Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee introduced and passed those exemptions in a late-night session. But on Saturday, after outcry from left and right alike, Governor Scott Walker and Republican legislative leaders announced they would remove that open records overhaul from the budget. Patrick Marley is with us now to talk about what happened over the weekend, how Governor Walker's office is reacting. He's a state capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
So let's do a quick recap. These exemptions to the state open records law, kind of a surprise in this what's called a 999 motion, Why do what do we know about why they're included in this package?
Yeah, it's a total surprise. So the 999 motion is the last substantive motion that the Joint Finance Committee passes before sending it on to the full legislature. It's always full of all kinds. It's a grab bag of various things. There's usually some pork in it. There's always a couple of surprises in it. This year's big surprise was essentially an evisceration of the open records law that would have allowed state and local and school officials to withhold all kinds of records that show how they make the decisions they make, and would essentially give lawmakers a blanket exemption from having to disclose any information at all. They did this just before midnight on Thursday. We wrote about it. Other media wrote about it. They immediately were blasted by groups on the left and the right and other open records advocates, and Republicans who passed this were in quick retreat, and by Saturday said that they were entirely abandoning it.
So, yeah, did they say why it was being abandoned on Saturday so quickly after it was introduced in the first place?
They said that their intention was never to make government less transparent, which is it's unclear how they can maintain that because, you know, the plain language of the statute was to greatly weaken the open records law. They will not tell us what reason they thought that this was needed, other than a few lawmakers made some comments about them thinking that it would clarify the law, make it easier for them to make sure that they were following the law. But they haven't really given us their rationale for it, and they certainly haven't told us who wrote it. You know, there are 12 Republicans on this committee who voted for it, and legislative leaders pushed it, but they say it came from multiple lawmakers. They won't tell us which one. No one will take ownership of it.
So I imagine reporters from around the state will be filing open records requests that
already
would be denied if this thing had been passed.
That's right. I mean, we put in our first open records request on Thursday and sort of thinking that it was possible we would never get answers to these questions, because if they, you know, the budget's going to pass here in the next few days, most likely, and if they put it into law, we wouldn't have access to those. We have now put in, you know, now they're saying they're going to pull it back. We've put in many open records requests. Now that's, you know, the public will only find out if the records actually reveal who is behind this. It's possible this was all done in conversations, or it turns out that lawmakers don't have to retain records. So if they quickly destroyed them before the records requests came in, we might not find out. But at least we have a chance now of finding out.
We're talking to Patrick Marley from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about open records laws in Wisconsin. They were changed in a Joint Finance Committee proposal on Thursday, passed by that committee, rejected after an outcry by Saturday. Patrick, you wrote a piece for the Journal Sentinel digging into how Governor Walker has approached public records requests in the recent past. In particular, his proposal to rewrite the Wisconsin idea that came through in the budget. It was called a drafting error later. How does that fit into this discussion?
So what's interesting here is that one of the proposals, there were many changes to the open records law that they advanced last week. One of them was to withhold what they call deliberative materials. So these are records that have to do with the internal discussions about how decisions are made. And if that had gone into place, like I say, there are a whole host of records you wouldn't get, because you wouldn't get anything but the actual decision, none of the internal discussion up to that. And the governor is now saying that he doesn't support that and that they're not going to change the law. But the fact is, he has been withholding records in recent months for that very reason, stating that certain internal documents that have to do with the frank exchange of ideas and the candid discussions of his staff do not belong to the public, and don't have to be released. He's being sued. We've gotten denials based on that from his administration. Others have as well. He's got two lawsuits pending against him from the Progressive Magazine and the Center for Media and Democracy. I've talked to another individual today who's just an average citizen who made an open records request to the Department of Administration. He got a similar denial. So we don't know how many of these are out there. But for some time, the governor has been holding back records for these reasons that we haven't ever seen before.
And do we know what we don't know? How many records are being prevented from going out to the public this way?
We do not. To be clear, the governor has produced hundreds of other records, and what you get are these partial denials. So you get a pile of records, and you get a letter that says, here's what you asked for. I'm supplying these records, but I'm holding back other records for various reasons. They might say they're withholding cell phone numbers, or they're withholding the social security number of someone, or a personal address. And then now we're getting these requests, or having a couple cases or responses where they say that they're holding them back because of these internal deliberations. But they don't tell you that, you know, are they holding back two documents, or are they holding back 200? We just don't know.
Now, in the midst of all this, we've heard about a lawsuit from the MacGyver Institute toward Democratic Senator John Erpenbach. They're on the same side. They're against this open records change. But in the past, the Institute had sued Senator Erpenbach's office because they were not revealing all the information that they wanted. Is this just kind of the norm? I file an open records request. They push back. I sue them if I have the means and have to. Is that just the common way this works?
Yeah, and it's the open records law is set up in a way that you should be able to sue even if you don't have the means to do it. There's a fee recovery in there, so you should be able, if you have a decent case, to get a lawyer to take your case contingent upon they get paid if they win. So if, say, a school district withholds records that are clearly available to you under the open records law, you go to a lawyer, the lawyer files suit, you don't have to pay anything, you win the case. The judge says they should have released these records, and they got to pay the attorney his or her fees, and then they figure out how many hours they put into the case, and they're paid. So in the instance of the MacGyver Institute, they had asked for John Erpenbach's records related to emails that he received over the fight of Act 10. Erpenbach provided those, but blacked out the names of all the people who had emailed him. MacGyver said you got to release the names. They had a suit that went up to the state appeals court, and Erpenbach lost, and the MacGyver Institute got all its records, and taxpayers had to pay for the legal defense of, in that case, had to pay for Erpenbach's legal defense as well as the cost for MacGyver to bring its lawsuit.
Now, this open records change is out of the state budget, but Republican leaders evidently saying that the legislature will form a legislative council committee to explore amending open records laws. Do we know anything about how, when, what's going to happen with that?
Right. So, first of all, I mean, technically, this is all still in the state budget. It was plugged into the budget by the Joint Finance Committee on Thursday, and now leaders have said they're taking it out, and their statement says in its entirety. But when we ask specifics about, well, what's coming out and what's not, they haven't answered yet. So it will take the next step in the process is for them to formally remove this, and we'll see what if they really pull everything out. And then they want to advance this legislative council study committee. So this would be a group that would involve legislators as well as members of the public appointed by legislative leaders. And they would study the open records law and figure out, you know, do we need any changes? And if so, what should those be? And, if the committee could reach a conclusion, they would advance that to the legislature, which would then take it up as separate standalone legislation. They've done this in the past and been unable to agree. There have been a lot of technology changes since the open records law was adopted, and there's a lot of disagreement among fair-minded people over what should be available, what shouldn't. Text messages are not something that were contemplated when the open records law was invented.
That way of tackling the issue of open records might be a little less controversial, it seems, though, than what a lot of people perceived as an out-of-nowhere surprise sudden change, like we saw last Thursday.
Absolutely, because you'd see, you'd have public testimony. Everybody would come forward. They would make their case to the committee. It would be, anybody in the public would be able to go and listen or to testify, get information. It would be done over a series of weeks or months. rather than just sort of sprung on the public with half an hour of debate and thrown into the budget at 11:30 at night.
And before I let you go, Patrick, you mentioned you have open records requests. Other people do, too, on the drafting of this change. Any idea what kind of timeline there might be before you get a response on that?
We don't know. The open records law says that records must be provided as soon as practicable and without delay. Sometimes that means a matter of days. Sometimes it means a matter of months. I would guess we're going to have to wait a couple of weeks at least. But some legislators should have files that are quickly identifiable and should be able to turn them around in a day or two. I mean, I would not be surprised if, you know, if some of these people have a small number of records, we should be able to have them by the end of the day today or within the next couple of days.
All right, Patrick, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Patrick Marley, state capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel, with us to talk about the news that Governor Walker and other state Republican leaders have removed the open records, or announced that they're going to remove the open records overhaul from the Wisconsin budget.